Moncrief on News Talk.
You have a group of friends, people you've known forever, your absolute besties. You know they would do anything for you and you for them. If it came down to it, they would help you bury a body. But how many of us are actually in that situation? People move to different towns in different countries. People couple up. Friend groups can break up if they existed in the first place. The San Francisco-based writer Jenny Singer decided to investigate this, suspecting that the idea of the friend group comes more from TV than real life. Good afternoon, Jenny.
Hi, how are you doing?
Is this a lot to do with TV in Friends, the actual show? Seinfeld are two examples that spring to mind. You always see these depictions of these friend groups, so they don't tell you how long they've known each other. And then as a result, makes a lot of people watch and feel like a bit of a loser.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so many of us grew up watching this kind of decades of shows, Friends, Seinfeld, and then into things like Always Sunny and How I Met Your Mother. And you think that's how adult life is. That's how adult life is organized. And then even as you grow up and you pull away from television as life and you start to think, okay, I don't know anyone whose apartment looks like that. I don't know anyone whose wardrobe looks like Monica's from Friends. I think for a lot of people, it isn't intuitive to realize I also don't know a lot of people whose friendships are organized like that. I think a lot of people keep that as their North Star. When I become an adult, I will have that.
Yeah, but the way life tends to work is that people might, say, go to school, they might grow up in a particular place and might have friends there, but then they go to college and they make new friends there. And then after college, they move someplace else again and they might make friends there. So that disintegrates the idea of having a friend group.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what a lot of experts I spoke to said, is that you're just less likely to have a friend group if you moved away from home, and you're less likely to have a friend group if you moved away from the place you went to college. And that should be totally intuitive, but I think for a lot of people it's not. And I think part of the reason it's not is because these TV shows are often set in urban centers. They're often focused on 20-somethings who didn't know each other when they grew up. And then we have social media, which is also kind of constantly reinforcing the idea that a normal part of adulthood, like a job and an apartment and maybe a dog, is also a friend group, even though it really likely is not for most people.
Is having a friend group better, though?
I think that's a good question. There are, when some of the psychologists I spoke to said, look, there are objective benefits to being in a group of friends. For example, there are studies that have shown that people who are in a group of friends are more financially generous to each other, probably because they fear, you know, being perceived as ungenerous by multiple people. Whereas if you're in a one-on-one friendship and your friend asks you to loan them money and you don't loan them the money, no one's going to find out. So there are those kind of benefits, besides the obvious one of, you know, someone's always around to hang out. But I don't think that friend groups are better for all people. For example, if you're kind of introverted, but you still kind of fantasize about having this group of friends who's always around, in reality, the reason you don't have a group of friends who's always around is because you're not that relaxed. You don't want to hang out with that many people. You're really picky. You get overwhelmed by sound. So it's a great fantasy, but you probably really wouldn't enjoy being with 6 or 7 people all the time.
And is there a danger, too, that when if you're constantly hanging out with the same group of people, that everyone then after a time assumes a particular role?
I think that's interesting. I mean, I think when we're having that fantasy, oh, if only I had a friend group, then my life would be totally together and I would never feel lonely. We're not thinking of any of those downsides that obviously come with friend groups. Like, what if you have a friend group, but you're kind of always on the outskirts of it? What if you're on the friend group, but you're sort of the person who's the butt of the joke in your friend group? I think when you're feeling lonely because you don't have it, those things just don't occur to you. That your problem is that you feel rejected, or you feel like a failure, or you just feel like you don't have enough plans. And that reality check that friend groups aren't perfect is just kind of like beyond your reach.
On social media, though, is there a big push to try and help people find friend groups, or push the idea of friend groups?
Well, it's interesting. One reason I knew that I wasn't the only one being like, where the hell is my friend group? What's wrong with me? Is that there are a number of tech companies and startups that are kind of trying to address this concern. There's like Bumble, which is this very popular dating app, has tried to really pivot, not just to setting up friendships, which it's been doing for a long time, but to setting up group friendships. So you see that company feels like there's this need for that. There's this group in my city in San Francisco where you can pay them a couple $1,000s to just kind of put you in a room with other women who their algorithm thinks you would like. And, you know, $1,000 later, you've gone bowling with them, done that with them. Yeah. And I really get the appeal of that, because for a lot of people, you know, just joining a book club that you found in your coffee shop is not quite doing it. So there's a real desire even to exchange money for the structure of a friend group.
Though if you've paid $1,000 for it, you're gonna try and get your money's worth and try and be friends with these people and you might all hate each other.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. And I interviewed the founder of this group, and she said that it's a lot of people. It's an all women group, and she said that a lot of women who pay for the group have recently moved to a new city. And they just don't know anyone. And maybe they used to have a friend group somewhere else. But they just want this group of women so badly that they are willing to pay to meet up with strangers.
Yeah. But as you describe, you have like a series of singular friends rather than a friend group.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I think when we think about loneliness, we think about, you know, one person sitting alone in the dark, sobbing maybe. But when you look at how surveys of how Americans spend their time, most people do have friends, and the average number is 5. And I think 5 is like a decent number of friends. You know, you have people to hang out with throughout the week. You have people to support you. And I think a longing for a friend group is wanting something that's like one level up. Like, I'm like, I don't want to see 3 friends a week, each for an individual coffee or a drink. I want to be at a table of people who are all laughing together. I don't want to be always asking, how's work? I want to be having like a group inside joke, you know, like that seems more delightful to me. But when I really stepped back and thought about why I don't have a friend group, I really realized I'm not really easygoing. When I'm in a group setting, I always think this is too many people. Mm. I really like sitting down and making eye contact with one person and having really intimate conversations about each other's lives. And those realizations for me really did make me feel less lonely, but also just like less of an adult failure. I just felt like, for better or for worse, this is how I like to organize my friendships. And I shouldn't be so shocked that I don't have a group of 10 people all making plans to go to Aruba together. And instead I have 10 different group chats, you know, each talking about, do you want to meet for coffee at 3 p.m.?
Yeah. And you could always, every now and again, get all those friends together in the same room and see how that goes. Of course, they may end up hating each other.
You absolutely can. And what one, I talked to Robin Dunbar, who's this like great French researcher. And Dunbar said, you know, it's just not too late. A lot of people make a friend group in high school. A lot of people make a friend group in college. But also a lot of people make a friend group at different phases of their lives, because you just need a group of people who has a significant amount in common, who wants to hang out together. And so one thing I think people can think about if they don't have a friend group and they want one is that it's not out of reach just because of their age, even though it might be a little bit harder because of logistics or because of certain personal qualities that they have.
Jenny Singer is a culture and lifestyle writer in San Francisco. Jenny, thank you very much.
Lovely to speak to you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.